This is Massey McGee from Massey McGee. You're listening to WBZN, The Rock of Boston.
WBCN 104.1, The Rock of Boston. We are Toucher and Rich, and it was a year ago, I believe, that all of us are big fans of Adult Swim on the Cartoon Network. All of us have spent time in Atlanta, where the Turner Broadcasting is based, mm-hmm. and we saw a premise for a show, which was a ass with legs that was a rogue police officer that was going to be cleaning up the streets with a devil-may-care attitude, very much like Cobra. Rich, you have a clip.
That's right. He would use great kick-ass lines such as this.
I've got one bullet. It's got your email address on it. Don't make me hit send.
Right. And so we started talking about it and saying, can you believe this show? And I contacted someone at Turner, and I said, hey, we'd really like to have these guys on. And lo and behold, they're down the street.
Yeah,
they're
Watertown.
In Watertown. They're literally a town over. Yeah, uh-huh. It didn't even happen like that. It's that we were talking about the show, and I contacted Turner, and the next thing, Be Real says one day, hey, there are guys from Massey McGee upstairs. I'm like, oh, that's odd. There's not a lot of press going on if they're flying in
right.
from Atlanta because the show's talking about them. But it turns out that they're down the street, and we have in studio with us today Carl Adams and Andre Lyman, and on the phone, we have the voice of Massey McGee, Larry Murphy. Thank you guys so much for joining us, and we're not lying to you. Matt, they are indeed in studio, so thank you for that.
Is Larry on?
Larry, I'm sorry. They're indeed in studio. Larry, so thank you for joining us.
No, Matt's on with us.
Matt's on with us.
Larry died.
Larry died?
No.
Okay, Matt's on with us. All right, Matt's on with us. I'm very confused. There's too many people. All right, so, Carl, I'll talk to you first. So your offices are in Watertown.
Yeah.
Now, you've been involved with Comedy Central and with Turner, so explain kind of, was it always your clambake animation, or was it kind of working on other shows and then you started producing your own? Talk a little bit about your career and how this all came about.
We originally started working on Dr. Katz about, you know, like 15 years ago, and me and Andre just working in the warehouse, and our friend Tom Snyder met a comedian in Newton. Jonathan Katz, and they started a show. No one was looking to get into animation. We just kind of backed into it. Mm-hmm. And then after the first year, after doing this like kind of like silly little cartoon, we won an Emmy for Best Voiceover, and then we won a Peabody. Nobody knew what a Peabody even was.
Is a Peabody? Is that like some kind of...
we still don't know.
NPR award for keen intellectuals?
It's I guess it's the top award for television and for media. In fact, went to this big event, the Waldorf, with like Arnold Schwarzenegger, and it was fun. That's when Jonathan Katz went up to Arnold and said, "Arnold, thank you for being so strong."
and Jonathan Katz, I do believe, still lives in Massachusetts. If I'm not mistaken,
lives right in Newton.
And what the idea that was such a great premise for a show, because it was way basically for comedian. There was always the relationship between Jonathan Katz and his and he went to a bar, and then he had lived with his son that was way too old to be living with his dad.
Right.
But it was also a great place for comedians to come in and basically do their act.
Yeah, just freestyle.
But what
too.
Could be a better scenario for a comedian to kind of just go off than at a psychiatrist's office? Mm-hmm. It's a great medium for people to do that. And now, were you responsible, kind of, you guys, Carl and Andre, for the squiggle type of animation?
Kind of shaky.
Yeah.
More Andre.
Yep. And it's annoying. I know. And we stopped doing it.
we had.
Were you kicking alcohol at the time, and we're trying to find some excuse of not being able to fill in the lines?
We had a premiere of Assy at Dr. Katz at a movie theater on a huge screen, and the squiggles do not translate well.
Oh, I guarantee
people
you
were
don't.
Leaving like almost throwing up.
They were like as like where 3D glasses were and things like that.
What
kind of visual effect is it? It was like when they were doing Apocalypse Now and the premiere of it, and the film broke, and everyone thought they were tripping.
Yeah,
right. So that goes on and then that runs to court. I really love that show. Then you moved on to Turner to do Home Movies.
Yeah, we had done a few things in between, and then we started working with Turner and Cartoon Network and Adult Swim on Home Movies.
And Home Movies featuring Paula Poundstone.
Originally, yeah, Paula.
who was in the field of 16 worst comedians of all time from the Toucher and Rich show.
That's that right. but she was defeated by Paul Reiser as being a lot less funny. So.
Right. That indeed is what was going on. So who were some of the people that you worked with on Home Movies?
Home Movies, Mitch Hedberg. Who's great?
Yeah, would be as far from this list as possible.
Yeah, I mean he's top. Home Movies had just a bunch of them. We had like guys from They Might Be Giants. Come on, like a lot of people who were fans, you know, were calling us at that time.
Same thing with Dr. Katz.
Cats.
Oh yeah, right.
Yeah, for Cats, like we got a lot of people calling. We had Winona Ryder calling us, wanting to be on David Duchovny, and so it was weird. It was a weird mix of people, but yeah, anybody wants to record and come to Watertown, they can. If they come to Watertown, they deserve to be on.
Absolutely. the very opulent Clambake Studios in Watertown.
Yeah.
And all right, so you've done these shows, and Dr. Katz, while the Squiggle of Vision was revolutionary and never been done before, in Home Movies was definitely not a traditional animated cartoon, you come up with the idea of having an ass that shoots things.
Yeah.
All right, so explain kind of the...
The sell.
The pitch to
Turner.
How do you sell the, because what's great about it is the first time you see it, you go, hell yeah. You hear the voice and see the ass, you go, this rules. So kind of explain how you pitch this to Turner, because everyone knows how horribly conservative a lot of these networks can be.
Yeah, no, Turner's great. They we did a bunch of shorts, an anthology, sort of kind of like a Saturday Night Live thing where our big mission was make shorts that can never go to a series that don't have enough legs, and one of them being Assie McGee. And so we brought it down to Turner, and I was friends with Matt on some other programs that we had worked together on for, like, Noggin in the end. And when we brought it down there, almost kind of forgot, and Matt saw it and was like, yeah, this looks like a show, and he sent it to his boss, and then it's, you know, it was right there, and Lazo was like, yeah, he's like, this seems like a highly entertaining show. Let's pick up 20, which was amazing because, like, nothing ever gets picked up that fast, and it was almost embarrassing telling my friends who have been, like, spending the last 5 years doing a show, maxing out their credit cards, you know, staying up every night, and it was, I almost couldn't even tell them, be like, yeah, it's not on Turner. We just got picked up for 20.
Yeah, we sold the ass thing.
We just drew the ass.
Yeah, so...
So, Matt, you were the revolutionary that saw this and knew that this was going to be a good show?
Yeah, I knew instantly that we wouldn't win any Peabody's. We weren't going to get any celebrity voices. And it's all come to fruition.
Absolutely. It's become everything that you thought it was going to be. You were having far too much success, so you thought it was time to slow things down a little bit.
Yeah, let's cool down, take it easy, do a show about an ass.
Right. Well, one thing when you're watching these cartoons, these animated shows, that you take for granted, unless it's a voice like the character of Assie McGee, the one thing that you take for granted is the voices on the show. Mm-hmm. Right. John Benjamin's voice, who was the kid on Dr. Katz, and it does voices for tons and tons of cartoons, and is a comedian in New York. You hear his voice all the time, and I remember always thinking, Jesus Christ, that's got to be so easy. The guy's just talking in his own voice.
Right.
How difficult could that be? Until
you go in the booth.
Until Carl called up Rich and I.
Yeah.
And he says, look, you know, obviously because we'd been talking about the show and supporting it, he was a good enough guy to throw us a bone and say, hey, do you want to see if you can do a couple of the voices? Now, Carl, I thought you just did Assie's voice up until today, because when we're doing the thing with you, you're reading like Assie.
Yeah,
It
sounds exactly like him.
After a while, you start, like, taking on his persona. That's really all it is.
Well, yeah, but we can't do it.
right.
And so Rich and I think, both had a similar experience. So we get to the... We went on different days. I actually had to go twice. Or we both had to go twice.
There was a little confusion at the beginning.
Yes. Right. I went, yeah, because I didn't know... We didn't know who was invited or whatever. So the day I showed up, you know, you get a script and you're like... Because they're obviously not big roles, and you're just, you know, going to go in there and you figure, I'll knock this out. But when you start doing it, it's so much freaking different than being on the radio. And I got no idea. You know, you do voices on the radio and stuff, and I have for years done voices, but Christ, I don't know what the voice is. And it might sound too much like someone, and I don't know what the hell kind of voice I'm doing, or some kind of character. I've never thought about it in my head.
Right.
You know?
It says, like, you know, the voice, they say, you know, kind of be like a stoner type guy. And, you know, the first thing you want to do is like a Spicoli, but you can't be Spicoli because everyone's Spicoli.
Yeah.
And so you would do a voice, and
you'd hear in the little microphone, oh, why don't you try something a lot different than that? Something not that voice.
Well, I know, Rich, that
they take that voice and put a pin in it.
Yeah. Yeah, so I'm thinking the only voice that I had any semblance of success, or that I felt any confidence in, the first time was, I just had wasted everyone's time, but it was nice and it was a good experience. And I chalked it up. I said, you know, this is a good experience. The only voice, and it was like one line, that I had any confidence in, as they said, can you imitate a drunk guy? And I said, I think I can do that. I think that I have the
big guy touch.
I have the experience of that, but it was great. But you don't realize just how difficult it is. And Carl, I mean, so you got just these voice guys. How many voice guys are there out there that you trust that can just come in and knock it out?
I mean, I think we kind of look more for, like, you know, just funny guys that are like kind of improv-y and kind of like, you know, be funny on their feet rather than just like pure voiceover people.
Well, I failed miserably at improv-ing anything.
Oh, sure. I'm with you, man. It was
but it's nice, like, you know, when you guys came in, it was just the two of you. So, you know, we kind of take our time and go through it. And right. I think that actually the drunk guy was is the guy that made the final cut. I think
nice.
It's a drunk cop.
Oh, very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
And I think you are Stanley.
Oh, well, hello, Scranton!
Rich, you actually conceived of your own voice.
Oh, yeah, the rocker, too.
And made it on the show. And so, yeah, Rich and I, they were kind enough to put us on the show and pay us, which I couldn't believe. I was like, dude, you don't even have to pay me. I got to fill out all this paperwork. but it's really... Because you don't feel comfortable going in there and improvising. At least I didn't, because, you know, you guys wrote these funny scripts.
Right,
and it's, like,
they've taken
so funny.
A long time for you guys to put these things together.
Yeah, and you're not
that long. No.
You'd be surprised just how long.
It's not really organized.
Well, that's why someone like we got to work with George Lowe. George Lowe we worked with for a little bit at the old station we worked at. And you could just crack a mic and tell him to go, and he would improv for 30 minutes, and it would be funny. George Lowe, the voice of Space Ghost, by the way.
And then if you had a conversation with him off the air, it was the most difficult and horrendous thing that could ever take place.
It's hard to rap it.
Right.
And if you ever told him something that he did wasn't very funny, he'd go in a corner and cry, and I'm not kidding you either. That man, you really had to just be like, George, come on, get out of the corner.
George, right. George Lowe's a great man, but not the best adjusted human being.
No, not at all.
But, yeah. It is definitely a kind of talent that I think the layman, when they're watching something like that, doesn't really appreciate. And I would contend that in a lot of ways it's more difficult than maybe being on camera and acting.
Yeah, well, I mean, I don't know.
Because think about doing stand-up. And how much when we're playing these things, people are going, well, it's different when you see
it. You got to see Dane Cook make the crazy face.
Right, or it's different when people are using their hands and stuff. And when you take that away from someone, and they're acting a role. This has nothing to do with radio, because radio, we're just having a conversation. But when you're acting a role and reading a script or even improvising with just using inflections in your voice or doing something like that, it's extremely difficult. And I could tell how wooden I sounded. A lot of the time, you know, I could tell
when you're sitting
like
there
reading,
like, isolated in that booth.
Yeah, it starts getting hot.
Oh, sure. Yeah. You can hear the suck through your headphones instantly.
Right.
All right. And then you get the, okay, I think we got it.
Yeah. Let's move on to the next character.
Yeah,
thanks for
coming. It's like excruciatingly long. You're just like, dude, I know you're a good guy, man. I'll still like the show.
And you're hearing the courtesy laughs in the other room.
No.
And you know they're just rolling their eyes because you can't see. And like, oh, yeah, it was
As soon
funny.
As you hear it, did you park out back?
Yeah.
Do you validate parking? Are they going to tow me in the rental car lot? Amy, go ahead, miss.
Hey, I just wanted to say that I miss home movies so much. I'm having withdrawals.
Well, watch Assy McGee, you ungrateful bitch. They got a new show out.
I just miss the animation, and the premise is just so good. So I just wanted to say thanks for that, cartoon.
Well, cool. You know what? At 11:30 on Sunday night, there is, everyone says...
12:30.
I'm sorry. 12:30 on Sunday night. 12, well, you know,
12:30, and Matt's on the phone.
It's 6 o'clock, there's 3 people on the phone, I'm taking phone calls, reading instant feedbacks. What the hell are you doing sitting there?
You know what, I'm just hanging out, cashing a paycheck.
Exactly, Googling, like you're going out drinking, right? All right.
I don't know, not after, maybe after that comment. After
you and Adam 12 are both ditching me tonight. So, I would say everyone watch it at 12:30 Sunday night. Now, Rich, I left for you the first two episodes. Did you ever get a chance to see them?
You did not
no,
leave that for me.
No, it was weeks ago.
You did not leave that for me.
I did. I absolutely did. I put them in front of you, and I think Adam 12 stole them.
Well, okay, because Adam 12 said he watched it. I haven't seen it.
That, okay, that's exactly
okay.
what happened.
Now they're on YouTube.
I got sent. I got sent the first couple episodes. I went home and watched them, and the next day I brought them here and put them in front
okay,
of
well,
you.
Okay, well, I haven't seen them, so I've
that rat bastard stole them in front of you.
And
right
he calls himself a Christian.
I swear to Christ, I swear on my unborn child that I left that video for you.
We did something. We brought something to a post house to get mastered at the end of the day. Uh-huh. And the next day we look, and Matt sent it to me on YouTube, and it hadn't even aired. And he's like, "Dude, do you know where this is from?" And I'm like, "No." And we're thinking back, we went, "Oh my God, we left it at the post house." And they just grabbed it and
went nuts with
it.
So that's what is the incentive for them to do that?
I think it was just kind of a nerdy thing to do. Kind of like, crazy fan. Yeah.
See, my thing is that why would you do anything that can't make you money?
Right. And I think we have Rodolfo on a couple of the episodes this new season.
Oh, that's right. Rodolfo, the character you guys base it. It's Sanchez's son, right?
Yeah.
Right, and it does look disturbingly like Adolfo, and I want to thank you guys.
Yes, he gets kidnapped.
For not embarrassing us by having Adolfo come in and actually try to record a voice. Because you want to talk about something that would have been
taking
you back a couple years.
Hang on, I remember I was in a cab one time with you, Adolfo, remember? And I think we had just finished doing our voiceover thing. And Adolfo's like, "Well, maybe they'll ask me to come in and do the voice of Adolfo." And I said, "Adolfo, come on, no." And he goes, "Well, I got a voice ready." And I said, "Well, something tells me you would do your own voice if they asked you to do the voice of Adolfo."
Can he repeat it again?
Here, let me see if I can get into it. And he sits there and holds up his finger and goes, "Hello, Assy." I'm like, "Adolfo, your own voice.
Come here, Adolfo.
That's a cartoon voice right there.
Because what the whole link between our show and Assy McGee in terms of being on the Assy McGee show was the character of Rodolfo.
Right.
Now, Adolfo.
Is that voice right there?
Carl,
Golden Pipes.
Carl, kind of take him through a little bit of the process of being in studio. You don't need a script or anything, but just maybe take him through a little improv and tell him how you want him to sound.
Can try an Assy McGee. Have you seen the show?
Oh, yeah.
All right, try your best Assy McGee of just kind of like, okay, WBCN.
Here we go.
This is Assy from Assy McGee.
That is not bad.
That
not
actually
bad.
Wasn't
it's
bad.
Not bad at
actually
all.
Actually, pretty. All of a sudden, everything gets serious.
Right. Yeah. Wow. How dare you
do? You know what? Do a spry little elf.
Like so. Yeah.
A spry little elf.
Spry
who's,
little elf.
Or, no. How about this? How about? Okay. Here's the character. Rodolfo is Sanchez's son. Right. He's, I would guess, in elementary school age.
Uh-huh.
He is very overweight, and
he looks like you.
And there's a scene where he's frightened about if his dad's okay. Could you give us like 10 seconds as this kid wondering if his dad's okay?
Okay, here we go. Papa? Papa? Papa!
It's no worse than I did.
I know. We aren't ones to judge after our session.
All right, Adolfo, sit down. You weren't bad though. You're embarrassing everyone with your success.
That was a good Assy McGee.
I know.
Not
he's
too shabby.
He's all over the place today. All right, so Carl, Andre, and Matt, we wish you much success. Thank you so much for all the great things you've done with our show.
Cool.
And 12:30 Sunday
support.
Night. Yeah. Oh, no, thank you. It was just
we had seen the show on TV, or Fred had seen it and told me about it, and I watched it, and
there was no ulterior,
a lot of thank yous going around.
There was no ulterior. Well, there was no ulterior motive. We thought you guys were probably in Atlanta. We had no idea that you guys were up the street. That's why it was shocking when you showed up with the
We
video.
Had no idea that this was seen in Boston.
Yeah, we thought we had some kind of special pay-per-view for for mentally disabled people, and lo and behold, it turned out that it was actually on TV. But we want to thank you guys so much. And we encourage everyone, as we did last season, to watch Assy McGee. It premieres this Sunday at 12:30.
Yep.
And we'll see you gentlemen tomorrow. And we do appreciate you guys coming out.